Amen. We're going to get ready to get started, so I want to thank everybody that's here. We're on now, and I want to thank all that are here tonight listening to our online broadcast roundtable discussion. And tonight, we're actually going to continue to elaborate on, we believe, that the word of the hour and how God is speaking to us. And I'm beginning to hear throughout the networking that there is a change coming, and I don't think most people understand what this change is coming. And I'm hearing from, you know, the people out there that are proclaiming to be prophetic, which I truly believe they hear God's voice and they're prophetically speaking their visions and their dreams and whatever else that they are tapping into, and they feel that there's a change coming, and it's even going to go against the traditions of religion. And we've been sharing this now for I don't know how long, that this change is here already, and it really has a lot to do with, you know, the doctrine of the prophets and also understanding what the true revelation of grace is, and the awareness of what glory really is. And there is going to be an outpouring of His Spirit, but not coming the way the traditions of what was predicting from the past. I truly believe as we embrace this message that is being enlightened to us, God loves us so much that he doesn't want anyone to suffer. And a lot of the suffering is coming between two parts of us as an individual. How many people realize that there are actually two parts of a person? There is the nature, or the soul, or the mind. All three of them are the same. Carnal nature, the soul, and the carnal mind. And then the other part is dormant, like a seed that needs to be watered and cracked open and become alive. And that is the spirit, divine nature, and the heart. And, the people, or we've all been brought up believing that we can actually understand and hear our heart. And then yet you got scripture that tells you that beware, the heart is deceivingly wicked, because the soul has a heart too. And, you know, it has a will. And one of the things that Jesus would be saying all the time, like mostly at his time of his last days, not my will, but your will be done, Father. And he understood that there's a spiritual battle that is going on throughout our lives. We're always battling. Now, some people may not really comprehend this, because it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of awareness. Some people just want to reject the spirit altogether and just become a good soul. Just become a good person. I'm a good person, so wouldn't that be, you know, divine? Wouldn't that be spiritual? But in the eyes of God, is our good good in the eyes of God? A lot of times He says your works are like, you know, dirty rags. So you have to understand the mind of God and the character of God in order to understand the transformation, or the rebirth of a person, of a spirit. I believe God's desire is for not anyone to be to suffer or perish because of the lack of grace or the lack of knowledge that He's giving us. And I believe that we have been deceived or duped by traditions and religious doctrines to where we're really not pressing in deep enough where Paul, the saint, said, I count everything that I know as dung so that I would know him the more. And we shared a message on Sunday, and if you haven't gotten that message, please log on and download that message from last Sunday. It shares a lot about the soul and the spirit, and how you might have a little bit more awareness. But our heart here at GTTN is crying out, because I truly believe that there are a lot of great people out there that are longing to have a relationship, and not only longing to have a relationship with God, but also to achieve that goal of eternal life and to be able to have that spiritual eternal life in that heavenly place rather than being distanced from the glory of God in that perishing sense of condition. Some people might look at it as purgatory or hell or what have you, but I look at it as, you know, when you have a loved one in your life and you're separated from that loved one, it kind of tears your heart out. Has anyone ever been in love before, and that love or that lover that you had in your life is no longer there? It could have been a family member, a mother, a father, sister, a brother. It could be a wife, a husband. It could be a child. But that love is no longer there. It's a huge miss in your heart. And it really is a tormenting type situation when that love is no longer in your life. You can't talk to them anymore. You can't be around them anymore. It's a big miss. Has anyone ever felt that before?
A groaning.
Yeah, it's a groaning. And so if I had to describe hell, I would describe it in that concept. Where the levels of miss depends on the walk that you have with the relationship with God. There's been a verse that has been ringing in my spirit for at least 4 months now or better, about coming to that judgment place where we stand before the Lord for that eternal realm. And God says, get away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And right away, we would think that would be a sinner. You're just a sinner, and God's saying, you're a sinner, and get away from me. I never knew you. But the response from the individuals was, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And there was a lot of things that were done that they were pleading. They were actually pleading to God in a form of
swearing they know him, believing they know him, believing in their hearts.
Believing and knowing, but when you're deceived and you're caught off guard, you really believed with all your heart, but you were deceived.
Yeah.
It was like somebody sold you a bill of goods.
Shocked.
And you were promised and shown that all this will take place, and you believed it with all your heart, and then someone else checked it out who you trusted, and they told you differently, and you were like shocked. But and I feel that this is the wind of the spirit right now. And some people out there may not really agree with me, because they'll say, well, God is a real merciful God, and he'll understand that you were deceived, and he'll wash that away and give you a free pass because you were deceived and it wasn't your fault, And that's what you would think, right? I would imagine, because God's such a loving God and he cares for us so much. But obviously that's not the truth.
In the scriptures, it even says, in the last days, many false prophets are going to rise up to deceive even the very elect.
And that's a scary point. In the last days, many false prophets.
Many.
not only many false prophets, but will be performing signs, wonders, and miracles.
Correct.
Now, I was sharing with Pastor Sam earlier, I said, I truly believe that deception, father of darkness, Satan, the devil, however you want to label that side of evil, is coming as an angel of light.
That's right.
And is really trying to deceive even the elect. And, you know, darkness can perform signs, wonders, and miracles too. I mean, I know when my life was changed and I was put into the so-called stream of glory, and I was considered one of the born in glory children, but at the same time, I knew something just wasn't right. And I was very fearful in the sense of my own salvation and whether I was going to be deceived. And I didn't want to be deceived just because signs, wonders, and miracles are happening, or things of that nature might be looking like the manifestation of heaven is falling or raining down or what have you, doesn't necessarily mean it's of God. How many people understand what I'm saying in this category? And so if some of you have been in those streams, you would kind of comprehend or understand what I'm saying. I mean, we've seen many, many things happen, and I don't even want to get into detail, but we've seen things happen. And I was concerned, especially when the ministry was beginning. And I prayed and asked God, you know, God, I just want you. I just want your love. I just want your presence. I could care less about all this stuff. I just want to know you the more. And God comforted me by saying, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. And then I began to really embrace that concept. And, you know, I love catching everybody when they're off guard. And then you really get to determine their fruit and the motives of their hearts and stuff like that. And we went through some cleansing just here in this ministry over some things. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of people who are chasing and running after so-called movements of revival, glory ministries, people that are proclaiming the presence of God and all these other things. And they may be getting emotionally ministered to. And
yep.
And one of the things that you want to look at is, are they leaving changed? Are they staying in their same predicament? Or are they really getting changed? And, you know, these are the things that I believe God is beginning to awaken a lot of individuals out there in this hour. And I know Sam's bursting in the seams here to say something.
I just wanted to share that, you know, we've been duped. I grew up as a Catholic, and then I became what you might call born again, whatever you want to say, later on in life. But, you know, you're told at a young age that the soul is eternal. And you're told at a young age that the soul can either go to heaven or hell for all eternity. And you gotta really cultivate the soul. That's what they teach in Catholic Church, about the soul. They don't talk about the spirit that much at all. It's mostly about the soul. And, you know, and if that was the case, then the scripture, God never would have put this in the scriptures about the soul, where he says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, it the soul, as Pastor said earlier, is your flesh, your the will, you know, it's you, it's not the spirit. And the soul is actually preserving itself. It actually tries to keep itself alive through self-righteousness and you know, through old religion. You know, I have a lot of things that I learned in Catholic Church that are still have some foundation in me that you know, when you have in you really feel self-righteous. You know, you really feel like you know God. And you know, all these things, if it's lacking love, then it's not God. You know,
yeah, we're going to read another scripture verse in a little bit, but we're leading actually to our listeners about the soul. We are deceiving ourselves in the works of holiness, in the works of traditions and religious acts.
Yep.
We are deceiving ourselves in areas of, you know, even praying. You know, look, we all mean well. We all have a sincere heart, and we should really continue to count everything that we know as we don't know.
Correct.
So that we can be humble, because God listens to the humble and the broken, contrite heart. And a relationship with God has to be established before, I want to say, the transition of you, soul, carnal nature, transitions into the spirit. The spirit's not even born.
Correct.
The majority of us right now hasn't even awakened the spirit due to the fact of the relationship with God. And look, even if we think we have a relationship with God, we're cloaking it with pride.
Correct.
Our hearts should be always saying, oh God, do I have a relationship with you?
Hunger and thirst.
Hungry and thirsting after that righteousness. I know that this sounds bizarre, and some people might even just get upset and say, you know what, this is too hard for me to comprehend, and how can you say I don't have a relationship with God when I talk to him on a daily basis, or I say my prayers on a daily, and I read scripture, and I truly am trying to work out my salvation and all that. I'm going to say you're at the threshold of having a relationship. And listen, we're all going to find out the truth when we leave this earth. That's really the bottom line of the question. But I want to get us to really think about, where is our salvation? Where is our relationship with God? Are we ministering and working in a soulish realm because maybe pride's there?
I'm going to go back to a point you made earlier, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Where you said that if you lose, when you're in love, that love moves you. That love takes away all pain, all fear, all worry. When you're in love with a person, you'll go to them at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't care. You'll go out to the store. You'll do whatever you have to do to make that person happy. Your happiness doesn't even matter anymore. Your happiness comes from making them happy. And when you lose that, or when you don't have that, there's a groaning inside of you. You're missing something. You're actually sitting there, and you feel like you're, like there's an addiction, that you're like you're missing something, and you try to fill it with works. You try to fill it with religion. You try to fill it with scripture. You try to fill it with all these acts, and nothing fills you up. Nothing satisfies you.
Well, I believe what's happening is we use our carnal mind to try to satisfy this hunger.
A spiritual hunger.
Rather than, you know, coming into this rest, or I find in my own personal understanding that it's only the love of God.
That's right.
The only thing is the love of God. Not that I love him, but the fact that he loves me. Our minds need to be reversed. We need to understand how much God loves us. And the knowledge of that in itself will draw you to love him. I love my wife because she loves me. And the evidence of that love is there. I love my children because they love me. The evidence of that love is there. I see their love, and that makes me love them more.
Correct.
How many people understand that one? Good, because this is the beginning of your salvation. This is the beginning. God so loved the world first that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in that shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we need to begin to, you know, for one, I say I can't really love anything. I can try to love something, but when they demonstrate love towards me, that's what empowers my love for them.
Correct.
You can't love anybody. It's almost like we can't love anyone unless they loved us first. And when they love us first, then we have this love.
Because it's kind of hard to believe that you're worthy of love. A lot of people are walking around feeling like they're not worthy of love. They feel like they really feel that way, you know?
And you know, now we could take mothers who have children, okay? And that could be a total different love. Well, wait a minute. How can you take a mother who has this unconditional love for their child? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You have embraced that child's love in the midst of it coming into your body. It started off with conception. You hope that it started off with conception. But the majority of it, as that child's moving around in your belly, you're developing a love relationship right there. A hope, an expectation, a thought of how wonderful this child's going to be. And all the dreams that you're already developing with these children. And then when that child comes out, it's like Christmas time, you know, opening up a present. And it's like, oh, I love this child. But at the same time, that child begins to love you. And now you're starting to feel the love of that child. And that's what makes you love that child even more.
That's right.
And more. And more. And that's how that transpires. And so, in order to have true salvation, we need to find some way of seeing the goodness that God has given us in our lives. We have to, I used to share with the guys when we first started worshiping and praising and coming into the presence of the Lord, I said, start thanking him for five fingers on your hands so that you can see that you have a hand, that you're not born with, you know, some deficiency or that you have a mind that's sound and a body that operates.
You can see, you can hear.
And then you do have things around you. Look at the things that you do have and not that you don't have, and begin to thank God for that so that you can begin to see that God has been working in your life from the beginning. If we don't see God working in our lives and how he has brought goodness, because all good things come from God. I want to share that with our listeners, because they might think that these good things came from other people or what have you. You know, I had to apologize to Pastor Sam the other day because he has given me a gift. And it wasn't on the top of my head. As I thought about it, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, you did. I felt real convicted about not having it on the top of my head. But I have already renewed my mind as all gifts that come into my life, no matter what they are all from God. And I tend to not see man or human or people or what have you And I know that that might be wrong in the eyes of the world, because you need to recognize, you know, people, God working through people. And I do, you know, when those things are taking place at that moment. But I begin to start looking at the gift of God.
Hey, he says, forgetting what lies behind you, press forward to the mark. And he also says, Paul said, that I count everything I've ever known and learned as dung, so that I might gain him the more. Anything you're thinking of in the past that's anchoring you is going to hold you back. You know, we got to forget everything. We've learned foundational things. We've learned things in churches. We've learned these doctrines that really are hurting us, and we've adopted them, and they became part of the soul. And the Bible says that we must decrease so that God can increase. And Pastor's talking about, what we're talking about tonight is how we can decrease the soul and have the Spirit rise up in us.
And this is such an important beginning.
It's essential.
Because I haven't even scratched the surface in the sense of how the soul is destined for damnation.
Destined.
For darkness to constantly rob and steal and destroy everything that you're looking to do. It's almost like having the rug pulled out from underneath you all the time, and you feel like you can't get ahead in life.
Because it's very slick.
And your will is fighting and fighting and fighting. And listen, some people have some really strong will. I mean, they get knocked down, they get back up. They get knocked down, they get back up. It's like, man, how can this guy keep getting up and down? Or how can this woman keep doing what she's doing and go?
They got soul.
They got soul. They got some strong, powerful soul.
Strong.
Strong. But that's not going to get you to eternity.
It's going to hold you back.
See, a lot of people are fighting, and God is like, why are you fighting?
Surrender.
The battle belongs to the Lord. But yet the battle don't belong to the Lord until we become divinely transformed. And so we'll always be in a soul. And we don't understand this because we take old doctrine, old religion, and we take the sufferings of the world.
Yep.
And we count them as carrying the cross.
Beating yourself.
And we handle all these lies when they aren't. That is not the truth. And the way to come out of all these sufferings is a surrendering of the soul. You know, we tend to fight so much. We're fighting and fighting and fighting. I'm not saying stop fighting, but there's a point where you have to say, God, help me. And find the love of God in that need of cry.
Yes.
You gotta reflect back on, you got a roof over your head, or you got food on the table, or something. You gotta reflect the goodness of God so that you can build the love that he has for you. Because listen, when trials and tribulations come, when your will is beat down, the soul is weary and tired, you need some hope, in the sense that, you know, there's going to be a change. And the only way we're going to defeat the powers of darkness that has the grips on the soul, and you might not think so because your will was able to fight some of the powers and principalities, but they're just kind of setting you up for the next one. The bottom line is they're looking to weary out the will, until the point where the will, some weary out faster than others, but we die old and tired. And do you think we should be dying old and tired?
No.
We should have some spunk. We should have a little kick in our walk, you know? We shouldn't be so, you know, I can't wait to sit here and die. You know, I'm just sitting here dying. That's all I'm doing. I'm just sitting here dying. I'm just going to sit here and die. I'm reached that age where I'm just tired. We have every right to feel that way. But there's a new life and a new way that we can come into And the only way that empowers us and gives us the power of the Spirit. See, there's a power that surpasses the will. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
And it only comes through the divine nature, but it comes through in the reincarnation of soul decreasing as spirit increases. Now, this is a mystery. And this is why we're here. This ministry is birthed for the realm of glory. And glory is really the victory over the soul.
Correct.
And when you have victory over the soul, you are entering in to his glory. You're entering in from glory to glory to glory to glory. And this ministry is a realm of glory. I am a glory child. And in that sense, the grace has been given to me for the transformation of God's people. I'm called to transform his people into a realm of glory that they have never experienced. Not even the church of old has ever experienced the realm of glory. And they have been operating and manifesting in the works of traditions and religions.
There you go.
In the pattern of the soul, and has never decreased the soul.
You know, where every single person in this world is groaning and has a hunger for love. That's what we're all crying out for, is love. And what happens is we're sitting there and we have a groaning for this love. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy us truly is the love of God. And we're groaning, and the soul says, Go feed the poor. Just go do this, and you'll fill that gap. And you go and you follow the soul, and it's temporary. The soul will feed you for an hour. And then you'll feel like you're filled, your self-righteousness will feel like you're filled for an hour, but then an hour later, it's like eating, like you said Sunday, it's like eating Chinese food. You get filled for an hour, and an hour later you're starving again. That hunger
MSG.
That hunger cannot be filled by anything but the love of God. And the soul will keep trying to convince you that if you keep doing works and you keep doing this and you keep doing and doing and doing works of old time religion and works and acts, then that's going to fill you up, and you keep chasing those things, and you get so tired because the soul's going to try to tear you down and weaken you to the point where you're just like, look, I've resign myself to the fact that I can do works and that satisfies me, but it's not going to satisfy you. You're always going to be groaning. You're always going to be hungry for that love because nothing's going to satisfy you but the love of God.
Well, you made a good point. The soul wearies you down. The soul wearies you down to the point where you get hopeless.
Correct.
You get hopeless. You want to give up. You want to quit. You want to feel as though that you can't move on anymore. And you just can't seem to hang in there anymore. And so what we're saying is obtainable. The problem is the world has a power that entices the soul. And it's called the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. And that has a lot of categories to this.
Yeah.
The pride of life is a huge one. When you can't become, you know, if you're stiff-necked and you're adamant and you're constantly, you know everything and you're always right and you're always offended and, you know, you just can't seem to surrender any argument and, you know, you just are constantly at war with your members too. I mean, that in itself is pride. If you think you deserve this and you deserve that, like you worked for it or what have you, you know, what if one day your employer says, I'm sorry, I can't pay you? How angry are you gonna be? You see? You'd probably be pretty angry. But we have no control over anything, and the pride of life needs to understand that all things come from God, all things, and that he'll be our provider, and he'll allow your days, months, years have provision. And understanding this truth can change your life. Now, I understand that these things can be impossible because you're asking for the wind to live this for your life. You're asking for something that you can't see. You're trusting in the invisible. And I completely understand. That's why you have to look at what you have and not what you don't have. You have to look at the blessings in your life rather than what you don't have. You have to look at the goodness. And we tend to focus wholeheartedly, and we chase after the lust of the flesh.
Yep.
There is so much flesh self-satisfaction, whether it comes through sex, rock and roll, love, music, whatever it is.
It'll all feed the soul.
Listen, I love music, you know, and I'll probably always listen to it. I'll never take it away, you know. But some people feel as though that they can't live without it. Some people feel as though that they can't live without food, you know. Or a favorite food or what have you. Or, you know, there's things that tend to control us and stuff like that. And that's why, you know, God sometimes teaches us about a fast, you know, to resist things. And if you resist them, they will flee. You know, to show that these things don't have control on our lives. And this, the lust of flesh is insane. I mean, I've seen people have very strong habits that they just can't tend to control. I mean, there are some big issues in those areas where it's self-seeking flesh acts, you know. You know, there's one thing about having pleasures. I mean, everybody can have pleasures, a good day there, a good night out that way. But when it's like an every Friday night thing and they're running constantly going here and going there and they just can't find rest or peace in that moment. And I shared with, I think it was last week, like, you know how you know you have the love of God is when you can sit in a chair and just have this heart of joy
gratefulness, yeah. And
gratefulness, saying, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm here today and I can hear your voice, and just having that close relationship when all the storms are coming in. You know, yeah, you can sit in a chair and have a really good day when everything's great. You got tons of money in the bank. You got tons of friends around you. And you got, you know, you just have a vacation tomorrow. And, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on. But when you have storms all around you, and you got the letters coming in the mail, you got your bank accounts like on zero, and you're wondering how you're paying the next bill and all, and you can still sit in that chair and just say, you know what, Lord, thank you for being God.
Yeah, because when you don't have that,
thank you for being my Lord and Savior.
When you don't have that, you're actually tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It actually will pull you. It'll actually rip you and pull you out of that chair. You won't be able to sit there. You can't sit there.
No, your mind is at torment. And this is where the love of God comes in. You have to build it somewhere. You have to start somewhere. My life, I'm going to just share some things. I've been building the love of God in my life for almost over 20 years.
Yep.
And it isn't just reaching a place where I know scripture and I'm okay and I say my prayers at night. No, I'm talking relationship.
Hunger and thirst.
Hungering and thirst after to know him the more. I count everything I know as dung to know him the more. Every day is on the tip of my lips. Now, I might not manifest it walking down the road. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But my heart is rejoicing even through the storms of the day.
You're always saying, search my heart, Lord. Search my heart.
Yes.
Make sure I'm okay with you.
I'm alleviating condemnation, guilt, shame. I understand that things don't always go the way you want them to go. Circumstances happen. You know, these things take place, but I don't get soulish, emotional, worked up. Do I get mad? Yes, but my madness is over in seconds. Do I get angry? Yes, I get angry, but it's over in seconds. They don't harbor.
Yeah, be angry but sin not.
Everything is going to work out. Everything's going to work out for the good to those who love him. You see, this is why it's so important to exercise this spiritual workout. You need to exercise. You know, we take more pride in our physical appearance than we do with our spiritual appearance. And we need to embrace the spiritual truths and begin to apply them and always go back to that foundation. He loved me first. He loved me first. He loved me first. And I completely understand the difficulty, especially when things aren't right. You got pain. You got suffering. You got inconveniences. You got pressures. Yeah, things aren't happening the way you like to happen. You want a different, whole different situation. And I completely understand. But let's put it this way. You can't do anything about it.
Nope.
You can't change it.
Nope.
You got to learn to accept what you got. You got to accept. And now let's try to reverse the spiritual powers that are continuing to keep
afflict us.
The afflictions. Because the only thing that's doing the afflictions
soul
is the legal contracts.
Correct.
That are over the soul.
That's right.
The soul is damned for hell.
Damned.
That's just the way it is. All soul is damned for torment. Now on earth and after earth. So when we're in the world, we're going to have trials. We're going to have persecution when we're in the world. But when we come out of the world, see, Jesus said, one of the proclaimers of this mystery, he said, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. And what he was saying is, I live on the natural plane of earth. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Meaning, I denied the flesh. I denied the soul. I am no longer in the realm of the soul. I don't have the pride of life. I don't have the lust of the eyes. And I don't have the lust of the flesh. I don't care. I don't let these things bother me. Yes, I like it. I like them. Yes, I want to go over to Samaria. Yes, I want to go to Jerusalem. Yes, I want to spend time with my family. Yes, I want to hang out with friends.
But I'm content.
But I'm content.
In him.
That's the key. I'm content. I've learned to be content in the highs, and I've learned to be content in the lows. I've come to his rest. And now I'm just laying my life down and going with the way the wind is blowing. If the door opens, I'm going to walk through it. If the door closes, I'm going to be okay with it. I'm not going to let my peace or my joy get taken and stolen from me. I want my peace and joy to empower me so that the soul decreases, because my peace and joy is only coming because he first loved me. And because he first loved me, I'm happy. I know that my life is going to be okay, because the truth says he turns all things around for the good to those who love him. You know, we're empowered in the Spirit. And the only way that we come into the Spirit is through his love.
That's right.
Now, Pastor Sam has a verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we've probably heard this verse hundreds of times. But we're looking at it through carnal eyes. If you have not love, you have nothing. And you think that you have to empower yourself to be a flower child and just love the wind and love the rain and love the stormy days and love your neighbors and love the guy who curses you and loves all this stuff. You know, that's not reality.
No.
That's far from reality. That's a delusional person who needs to go into the funny farm home. You know, you got to come to, if you have not love, you have nothing. If you have not love, that love is the Father's love.
That's right.
If you don't have God's love, you have nothing. You have nothing. And the reason why you have nothing is because the enemy's job is to rob, kill, steal. And that's why you don't have nothing. Because the realm of darkness has a commission on the soul to steal.
And puff you up.
And constantly steal.
Yep.
And you can do all those things. Let's read this verse. And when Pastor Sam reads this verse, take in remembrance, it's not your love for the world and the things of the world. It's God's love that you're embracing. Go ahead, read that.
It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
Now, let me just stop you in that verse there. There's an individual who is spiritually aware.
Yeah.
They speak in tongues.
Yep.
They have the tongues of angels.
Yep.
That right in itself is a spiritual awareness. But if you don't have love,
nothing.
Your tongues, your spiritual language in the eyes of, in the ears of God, is like clanging cymbals and sound. And God's probably like,
confusion.
Shut this thing up. These are tongues of Satan.
Yep.
Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Go ahead and read the next one.
And though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and could remove and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
Okay, here you go. Here's an individual that can prophesy. They see visions, they hear things. Well, who knows if it's real, you know, but they can prophesy. They can say, thus saith the Lord. And look at the power.
Look at this. Yep.
Look at the power. If they have enough faith that they can move mountains.
Understands all mysteries
and have understand all mysteries.
And all knowledge.
And all knowledge. Is that still in the second chapter?
Yeah, that's second one.
And you know, I want to talk to those that are on that Elijah list.
Read it again?
I want to talk to those people out there that are...
Read that again?
I want to really quicken them. I hope and pray that they're hearing us right now. I really do. I really do. Because God loves them.
That's right.
But they're being deceived.
They've been deceived.
They're being deceived.
Yep.
What does that say? We're running out of time. I'm already starting to get the red light. Maybe we should need to pick up on this on next Wednesday. Because I want our listeners to really grab hold of what we're saying here. You see? If you can, we're going to give you some homework. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1.
Meditate on it.
And read that. And when they say, and you don't have love, you're nothing. Understand, you don't have God's love. This is why when the verse came to me and says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And they cried out, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. You know what they did? They spoke in tongues.
Yep.
They prophesied.
Yep. And yep.
And they had enough faith to move mountains.
Yep.
And they had a knowledge of the mysteries.
Yep.
And They were able to feed the poor.
Yep.
And look at this. They even give their body to be burned.
Profits nothing.
But it profits nothing. With that being said, we're out of time.
That was fast.
And I know that there are some who I love deeply tell me all the time, don't go over the time. And I say to them, I don't have control of that. But we have control because we got the red light now. And we're going to give all power to that red light. We're going to give all power to that red light. So I want to thank all of our listeners who have been listening. And please stay tuned because this is really something serious, I believe, that God is speaking in this hour.
This is warfare. You're battling for your life here. The soul wants to take you to hell for all eternity.
Yep.
And the spirit wants to give you life and that more abundantly. And we're trying to give you the definition of both so you can separate soul from spirit and receive this everlasting life, this love of God.
And you know, not only everlasting life, because I want to focus on eternal life, but I want to focus on your breakthroughs.
Yeah.
You guys got breakthroughs, man. You got breakthroughs coming. And what is holding up the breakthroughs?
Yep.
Especially when none of you did anything wrong.
Correct.
The only thing that is being done wrong in the eyes of God, now hear me out, is the soulish realm has legal rights. It has rights. And I look at it this way. The more call you have on your life, the more darkness wants to take it.
Yep.
Darkness doesn't want the soul. If you got an appointed anointing on your life and you're called by God and you're commissioned in the eyes of God to serve him in some way or shape or form, I'll tell you right now, darkness knows that.
That's right.
He knows his children. And that darkness attacks that soul more than others.
Yep.
And I always say, you know, when I see individuals that are going through some suffering, I look at that individual and I say, you're anointed. You're very much anointed and you got a call on your life. And it's not God bringing these sufferings on you. It's the soul realm that darkness sees the anointing and he wants to take the soul out.
That's right.
So those that are listening that are going through some sufferings and have been suffering, it's only because there is a love that God has for you that is very, very meaningful. And if you've been coming out of some of your sufferings, I guarantee it's because you have been finding the love of God.
Correct.
You have been finding the love of God and you have been developing some praise in your heart, and that's why you've been getting some breakthroughs. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't stop.
Nope.
Because darkness wants to rob those breakthroughs. He wants to steal those breakthroughs. And it's almost like when you get your blessing, then you go right back into the world, you forget about praising God and being thankful. Next thing you know, boom, you lost your blessing.
Yep.
You get fired from your job or you lose whatever, you know, you had that you were glorified in. Take me serious out there, our listeners, because we always wonder why we always get the short end of the stick.
Yep.
Why is it that we're always fighting and seem like never get a breakthrough?
There is a false sense of contentment in the soul.
Yeah.
The false sense of contentment. Not
big time.
That comes from the spirit.
So we're gonna continue to stay on this word as long as God continues to pour on us. And then when he's ready to move on, we're moving on.
Like the wind.
Like the wind. So be blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.